Welcome to Heritage, a series of programmes that looks at the heritage of St Albans.
I'm Tim Boson, and I'm in the Grange, that splendid Georgian building on the east side of St Peter Street. It was once the home of John Osborne, who was mayor of St Albans three times. In the 19th century, this Grade 2 star listed building was described as a country house because it had extensive grounds, which are now occupied by the civic offices, Alban Arena, the Magistrates' Court and Water End Barn. The building is now a Macmillan's pub, the Saint and Sinner. It's good to see such an important historic building being repurposed, because it not only preserves the city's architectural heritage, but provides access to the community and connects us to the past. My guest today is Robert Pankhurst, a trustee of St Albans Civic Society. Hello, Robert. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Tim. I always look forward to our conversations because I learn so much from you. Here we are in the Saint and Sinner. I was just wondering, musing on the fact of which of us was closer to which of those.
Well, thank you for the compliment. But can you tell me a bit about yourself and how are you involved in understanding St Albans' heritage?
Well, the first thing to say is that I have no particular credentials for talking about heritage. I am a scientist by background, a geologist, and most of my career was involved in collecting data, analysing, assembling data, and interpreting it. In a way, I suppose an interest in the history of rocks and the Earth's crust is an interest in history. But my real interest in our heritage history began when we moved to St Albans in 2012, and we bought a small Grade 2 listed property in the conservation area. It's the first time I have ever lived in a building as old as that. It's 1828 it was built. And inevitably we threw ourselves into St Albans society. We joined the Civic Society, the Arc and Art, the Architectural and Archaeological Society. And before long, I became involved in setting up a local residents association. And then you may probably remember, we set up a group to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the conservation area in 1969. And that has led on to further things. We still have the C50 group, which I consider a sort of ginger group, in which you are very instrumental, of course. And the Blue Plaques St Albans scheme, which has been extremely successful, very interesting and very instructive. So that's essentially how I've got into it.
Well, you're very involved, and as you say, you've been involved with quite a lot of interesting areas, from the Civic Society, the Arc and Arc, and now the Blue Plaques, which is turning out to be very successful. Can I ask you, how is the city's heritage recorded in its architecture and its neighbourhoods and cultural traditions?
Well, St Albans isn't unique. There are plenty of other places that have very far-reaching heritage in the country, like York, Winchester, the cities that we're often compared with, perhaps unfavourably. But St Albans has a very rich heritage, very rich history, and I think it's quite special in many ways. It's very wide-ranging. We not only have considerable Roman remains, but there's even a pre-Roman history, the archaeology around Pray Wood, for example. And then it continues through quite clearly the Norman Abbey. It started before that with the Benedictine monastery, which was, St Albans was the monastery throughout much of the late Anglo-Saxon period. So we still have the cathedral. Then we have significant buildings dating from medieval times, the Abbey Gateway, the clock tower, in which the Civic Society has a particular interest since we helped to run it. And Medieval buildings are quite common. They're the vernacular buildings, in fact, of around the marketplace, down Fishpool Street, built during the 16th, 17th and 18th century. There was a very large expansion in St Albans in Georgian and Victorian times, which continued with the Industrial Revolution right through to the present time, particularly with more industrial housing spreading out from the city centre into the surrounding suburbs. So that we do have a very continuous history in St Albans.
That's quite amazing, isn't it? What the city offers in terms of its history. How do you think the city, though, how do you think the city's heritage create a sense of place and community, identity?
Well, this is evident in a number of ways. We have a cultural background which is celebrating St Alban himself. Whether you're religious or not, it's still an annual event with the puppets being processed through the streets. We have a history also of celebration of the history in the pageants. In the last century, there were three major pageants in which the citizens got together, put a lot of effort into recording the history of the city and the events that occurred through history here. And perhaps the strongest link is with the Charter Market, which dates back to about 800 when it was first founded, we think. And this was endorsed by a number of kings throughout medieval times. I think people like Henry II was involved in supporting the market. The kings tended to support it because, of course, it meant that they could then tax it. I think the current charter dates from about, I think it's from Edward VI, something like that. But a lot of the culture, of course, we get is an overspill from London. London is so accessible. What we do have in St Albans is we have two very fine award-winning museums. There's the Verulamium Museum of Roman History and our current museum and gallery in the beautifully renovated town hall building completed about 10 years ago. And the museum staff are very active in promoting St Albans' history and heritage. I would mention something they have on their website called Talking Buildings, in which individual buildings within the city have a little short description, a little chat sort of description, and access to more serious research on those buildings. Perhaps the other main significant thing about St Albans is its conservation area. This was established, as I said previously, in 1969. I think it's one of the largest urban conservation areas in the country in terms of area. And conservation areas, which are set up, of course, in order to preserve and enhance areas of special architectural and historical interest. And it's well known that this attracts a premium on house prices, which must indicate people want to live in these buildings, want to own them. There was an interesting report published in March this year by Heritage England. It was a government-funded research project on the effect on people's well-being, their living conditions, of having historic buildings. And they actually thought there was a clear positive benefit to people from having historic buildings in their surroundings. In particular, I'll quote, proximity to a wealth of everyday local heritage, grade two buildings they meant, which are the sort of the lower class of grading of historical buildings, rather than the presence of rare, exceptional historic places, And of course, St Albans has both. So I think this leads to sometimes not clearly expressed, but an inherent sort of civic pride that we have in feeling that St Albans is different and that we are part of it.
That's very interesting. Your role with Civic Society and Conservation 50 probably puts you in quite a good position to answer this next question, which is about the challenges that must occur in balancing preservation with modern development needs.
Indeed. And in particular, this is something we're very conscious of now. I mean, old buildings are great to look at, and people say want them and want to live in them, but nobody wants to live or work in a drafty and leaky old building without modern facilities. So there's always pressure to update and make a better living environment within an old building. And the only problem there, I think, is partly is there are restrictions on what you can do to a listed building, but also it becomes quite expensive to maintain a heritage building. But the biggest challenges, obviously, now are two, really. One is climate change. Old buildings need things like insulation. We need solar panels, we need heat pumps. These are being promoted very strongly now in an attempt to combat climate change. And they are all much more difficult, sometimes impossible, to install in older buildings. But the other factor really is the increase in the urban population, the demand for housing. People want extensions, outbuildings. And we have heard today, it actually happens to be that we're conducting this interview on the day of the King's speech, that the government is going to reintroduce mandatory housing targets. This almost inevitably is going to put pressure on St Albans, particularly the surrounding Greenbelt land, which is going to be very difficult to protect if we are given a target that we cannot otherwise meet. And I'm also concerned about what is called brownfield development. I mean, the city centre has got a number of so-called brownfields where it could be built upon, car parks, for example. But if we start adding high-rise flats into the city centre without increasing the facilities that one needs, shopping, parking is still going to be a problem for some time. All the amenity value as well is going to create a very confused and perhaps much less pleasant situation. So really, meeting these challenges is the biggest problem that we have. Most old buildings have developed over and changed over time. And the key to all of this is sensitive renovation and control.
We are sitting here in a building that has been repurposed, and it's good to see the heritage being used and having a modern day, if you like, opportunity for people to come and see it. It's slightly worrying, of course, about what is going to happen. You're mentioning with the housing needs and the infrastructure, and of course the pattern of St Albans is still very much that medieval pattern, which is very difficult in terms of developing its infrastructure. One of the things, though, that is very much in people's minds now is sustainability. How do you think the city can plan for sustainable heritage management?
Well, the basic control of development is through planning law. The planning controls are set, dictated by government policy and expressed in the paper, the legislation that goes with that. But it's the local council which has to regulate and, when necessary, enforce the standards locally. And St Albans Council has been under enormous pressure for a long time now. we're deluged by probably the highest number of planning applications per year of any other council. And the process of dealing with them is cumbersome. I'm sure that anyone who's actually had to do this, and I know you share this feeling as well, you find it cumbersome and even, should I say, Kafkaesque dealing with the council. So the amount that we can achieve is going to depend very much on community involvement. This is where we can actually try to help the situation. And this really depends on all the heritage-minded groups in the city, and there are a large number. I've mentioned, obviously, the Civic Society, the Arc and Arc, and there are other smaller groups, the Sustainable St Albans. Essentially, we've got to work together. We've got to involve the community as widely as we can, and that's one of the aims of the Civic Society, is to foster a greater awareness of the heritage of the city. And together we can find ways of working with the local authorities to achieve best practice in terms of development. Just as an example, I've been involved in a small working group trying to find guidance, set out guidance for the installation of solar panels in the more sensitive parts of the conservation area. And that was a very successful little collaboration, and the guidance was approved by the council and has, this last couple of weeks, been posted on the council website.
Well, we're seeing, aren't we, the impact of climate change. It's rather bizarre here that we're not actually suffering so much from the heat as more from the wet, but that's clearly is a consequence of what is happening to climate. And elsewhere, of course, there are terrible droughts going on and high temperatures, which are quite lethal. This next question is a bit connected with the previous one, because it does go back to what the city authorities can do and how they act. And of course, we know with a new government now, there are probably going to be new legislation in terms of how planning works and how it operates. But do you think, this is slightly controversial in a way, but do you think the council or the city is doing a good job on preserving its heritage for the future generations? Are we being good ancestors?
Well, I hope so. There have been changes. Obviously, going back to the mid-1900s, the recognition of the establishment of the Civic Society at that time and the establishment of the conservation area were interlinked with people becoming more aware. And I think that there have been improvements since then. You know, if you think about the way the city changed prior to that, particularly the early part of the 19th century and during the periods in between and immediately following the world wars, where there was a sense of a need for renewal, sweeping away the past and building something new. And at that time, we lost a huge amount of the older, and in many cases, rather beautiful buildings in the city centre, particularly, for example, along the west side of St. Peter's Street. And I must say that I don't think we've done a brilliant job of updating and replacing the buildings that were put up then. There have been a large number of late 20th century buildings which are currently being replaced. And the replacements, I think, lack imagination. There is a sense in which, to my mind, the driving force has actually been to maximize the profit made by the developers rather than following even the government guidelines on things like build better, build beautiful. That was a government report, government-funded report. And we've rather neglected that. I hope that from now on there will be a more serious look at heritage. I'm quite pleased with the way the old police station site has been redeveloped. I hope that we can continue to think about this. The Civic Society was, of course, instrumental in pushing for a competition for the building that replaced the old police station. And I think, you know, the involvement of people who have good architectural contacts is very important. Hopefully we can build on this. What it will take is all the people interested in heritage, all the groups, to work together rather than in competition with each other in order to influence the council in the future.
Well, you've talked about some really interesting elements of conservation and heritage in St Albans. Have you got any other thoughts that you'd like to tell us about?
Well, yes, in a way that, as I said, the heritage groups have got to work together. But what we all need is renewal. All the groups, like the Civic Society, are always short of volunteers. They're always short of help. And we need people to replace others as they retire. People, anyone who's been inspired by these programs, which I hope that they strike a bell with people, anyone who's interested in sustainability or any other way in which they could contribute ideas to the heritage issues, please, please join one of these societies. Get involved. It's volunteers are the way in which everything works. And if we're going to influence the future, we need people to put those ideas into practice.
Thanks, Rob. Well, listeners, you've had a plug there and a plea. So if you want to get involved, do go onto our website, and that's the Conservation 50 website, and we'll sign you up. Anyway, Robert, many thanks indeed. Thanks again for giving up your time and giving some really interesting answers.
Thank you very much, Tim. It has been a pleasure.
I was talking to Robert Pankhurst, a trustee of St Albans Civic Society and a member of Conservation 50. Can I thank the sponsors of these heritage programmes? St Albans Cathedral, St Albans and Hertfordshire Architectural and Archaeological Society, City and District of St Albans Tour Guides, and Conservation 50.